Welcome to another Outside the Box. Not sure where the box is right now, or whether I'm in it or not. Today's topic is Inside the Box. I couldn't say no. How could I resist reading David Epstein's book with a title like Inside the Box, with a subtitle of How Constraints Make Us Better? So I read it cover to cover. The constraints part made sense to me. If we limit ourselves to ideas outside the norm or the status quo, a constraint, that forces us to look for outside-the-box solutions to a problem or taking a unique path toward a goal. We can't just continue to do the same ho-hum things to respond to a problem. We gotta think until we figure out a better solution than the one that hasn't worked well all along. Putting in boundaries or guardrails does not limit our ability to think outside the box, as long as the boundaries only keep us from going so far out that we no longer are still addressing the same issue we started to talk about. That's the other half of Epstein's argument, that too much freedom takes us out of our original goal and brings us to some new topic that only distracts us from our initial intent. Excessive freedom is the author's concern, using general magic as a star example. Never heard of general magic? That's because, although it brought many of the computer world's brightest stars together to produce new technological miracles, almost nothing came of the new business. General Magic was an outgrowth of Apple, but got financial buy-in from Sony, AT&T, Motorola, Panasonic, and other big names in electronics and technology. Researchers had, according to Epstein, too much freedom to go wherever they wanted, and lots of investment money to work with. They went anywhere and everywhere, but they rarely narrowed down their search for the newest technological wonder to one piece of technology that was saleable. The company let its researchers and innovators go as far as they wanted, but it didn't tell them to just do a few tech products at a time that would be approved and sold. It was short on constraints, like time limits, for when new products had to be ready for approval and sale. General Magic's sudden rise and precipitous fall was even documented in a film titled General Magic. Filmmaker Sarah Kerouish described the company as, quote, too much creative freedom fueled by too much money, end quote. While Epstein may be exaggerating the rudderlessness of the business, it clearly failed despite lots of talent and plenty of funding. The author offers other examples where constraints may help. Low-budget films often do better at the box office than so-called blockbusters. Workers whose usual way to get to work becomes disabled or unavailable, for example, because of a strike, sometimes continue to use that new method of transportation. Also, the green eggs and ham effect, where the beloved Dr. Seuss's story is limited to only 50 different words. Another kind of constraint described is the habit of Martin Luther King Jr. and other preachers to borrow ideas and quotes from previous speeches to use in their own Sunday sermons. King's most famous I Have a Dream speech was built on one from another clergy member 11 years earlier, and some of those words came originally from lynching opponent Ida B. Wells in 1893. Having great words to start with makes it easier to attach more memorable wording to a speech. One more situation where constraints can help. When an especially revolutionary idea is being espoused, it helps to include some actions that are more familiar. It's okay to talk about socialism as an economic alternative to capitalism, but let people keep their same jobs if they want them, some amount of normalcy, rather than advocating they all resign and find new employment. In my mind, having some constraints is not the same as being stuck inside the box. I'll still argue for being outside the box every time to promote creative thinking. What about you? I'm Larry Danziger. Happy being outside the box, always.